Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. It's great to be in the house of God tonight. I hope you're glad you're here. I'm glad for a fresh faith. I'm glad that I don't have a stale faith. I've been saved 50 years, 51 years. But I want you to know it's as real right now in my life as it was the moment I trusted him as a 21-year-old young man and got saved. It's real. And I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm just talking about something that's real. And it's fresh in me. I'm excited about it. I don't know what God's done with me lately. He's revived my flesh, revived my spirit. I don't believe in a second work of grace, but I've had several of them. And he's still working on me, and I'm thrilled. And on behalf of my family, I want to thank you that have reached out to me today by text or phone and loved on me. My sister went home to be with the Lord this morning at 2:30. And somebody would ask, why are you here? Most people can't handle it. They don't want to be in church when something like this happens. Man, I want y'all to know something. I went by to see her. I was in the hospital. Ron was all together. I was there all day yesterday and left there and went down to see my sister. And I walked in and she was in bad shape. I got up there next to her, Joe, and I whispered in her ear. I said, it's okay for you to go home. And I want you to know what I prayed. I said, God, if it'd be okay, would you take her out tonight? Now, I'm not overstepping your will. I just asked you for your will. But if you'll do that, I appreciate it. And he took her. And you said, you prayed that? Well, you can pray that too if you know heaven's real. Amen. You pray that too if you have the hope in you that I feel today. Christians are the only people I know that believe they're going to heaven, but nobody wants to go there, get on the first bus. And but I'm thankful my sister's with the Lord. Good to have our first time visitor here tonight. Thank you for being here. You're our honored guest. Now, I'll be teaching in the book of Revelation, and so you'll be hopping in into a study that we've started. But you can go online, and everything I'm teaching is online from Revelation 1 through Revelation 20, where I'm at tonight. And you are our honored guests. And let's give our first-time attender another warm welcome. I can say something about our church. We're not perfect, but we love people. There's a group of people here who love one another. And I'm glad we're here, and I'm glad we love one another. And I have felt your love today. And it's given me some strength in some of the pain and hurt. But I got a great outlook tonight. Amen. Revelation 20, we were here last week. So did y'all bring your outline? How many brought your outline? Wave them at me. Is Gary here? Do we have any outlines left? You're shaking your head no at me. We don't have any left, so you can follow me. We kind of introduced Revelation 20. We covered review of Revelation 19, and then we went into 20, and we just started in Revelation chapter 20. And I'd like for you to go there. Let me read these 10 verses to you and see if we can dive into the scripture tonight. I'm excited about preaching. I've been looking at this world's condition and what's happening in Korea and China, and Russia and Israel and Hezbollah and Hamas. And I want all y'all to know something. You better lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. We're close. Dear God, we're close. And if the Lord would tell you, come up hither right now, I'd be happy about it. Amen? So look at Revelation 20. Now we are talking about this theme of the first 10 verses of Revelation 20 is the millennial kingdom, is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And I want you to follow with me and we'll dive into it a little deeper tonight, and I hope I can help you. And I saw another angel come down from heaven. It's chapter 20 and verse 1. Having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him, say it with me, church, 1,000 years. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more, say it with me, church, till the
1,000 years should be fulfilled.
And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, that's the Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ, say it with me, church, but the rest of the dead lived not again, say it with me, church, until
1,000 years
were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy be is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him, say it with me, church,
1,000 years.
And when the
1,000 years
are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And somebody, if y'all don't ever shout, some of you never ever shouted in your life. You shout at the ball games, I've watched you. Briscoe, you're the biggest competitor that ever walked on 2 feet, so you shout once in a while. This will even make Dave Briscoe shout. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That right there makes me want to shout. That person that has made heyday in our world is going to hell and going to the lake of fire. And next time he reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. We are studying about the millennial kingdom. A lot of people say they believe it, but they really don't know a lot about it. So I'm going to try to inform you now and then give you a bunch in the fall when I just talk alone about the millennial kingdom. Now, last week I give you the three views. I will not review a lot, But I want to share a little bit more about that and then tell you why. Now, look at me. I am a premillennialist. You say, what is that? I believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back the second time to this earth and establish a 1,000-year literal millennial reign. I believe that. Now, I don't just believe that, Chad, because Revelation 20 mentioned, and this is the only time, mark this down your margins, that the 1,000 years is mentioned as 1,000 years. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not the only time the millennials mentioned in the Bible. Amen. You can go through Jeremiah and go through Isaiah and go through the prophets and go through Ezekiel. The millennial kingdom is mentioned. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. So I'm a premillennialist. That means the second coming is before the millennial. Now, the other prominent view, and there's three views, but the most prominent view is what I call amillennialism. Most everybody's an amillennialist, and there are some postmillennialists. There's been a resurgence of postmillennialism as of the last 10 years, but since World War II up until the last 10 years, the two groups actually was amillennialists and premillennialists, though some of the new Calvinists are postmillennialists. And what the postmillennialists is, they believe that Satan is bound right now. And you're ushering in the millennial. You're in the millennial. And we're doing that because we're Christianizing the whole world. Now, if you believe that, I really could sell you some swamp property. This world's not getting better, it's getting worse. As much as we're trying, we're not Christianizing this world. And the postmillennialism, because the second coming comes after the millennial. But an amillennialist, here's what they believe. They do not believe in a literal millennial kingdom. They do not believe in a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ. They say there'll be no literal reign of Christ on the earth. And all his second coming does is usher in an eternal state. They don't believe in the 7 judgments of the Bible. They only believe in one, when they separate the goats from the sheep. Are y'all with me? So here's what they do. They allegorize the scripture. They spiritualize it. Now you say, where did that amillennialism come from? Y'all want to know? How many want to know so I can tell you? How many's heard of the Reformation? You have. What was the Reformation? The Reformation is when Luther and some others said the just shall live by faith, and they left the universal church, and they left it. But here was the problem, Chad. They did not. Here's what they did, eschatology. They took the beliefs of the universal church, and that is what the universal church believes in, is amillennialism, and took it right in to the Reformation. And that's why the reformers are so wrong about the scripture. Amen. Y'all with me? Now I'm going to say something to y'all. Listen up. We, as premillennialists, we are in the minority. Do y'all know, how many of y'all know we're in the minority on this belief on premillennialism? Because we're in the minority doesn't mean we're wrong.
Amen.
Because the denominations you drive by every Sunday here, most every one of them are millennials. They don't believe in the millennial. They don't. And you say, well, why, preacher, don't they believe in the millennial? Well, I'm gonna share that with you. I'm not mad at them. They're not going to hell because of it. But there's some reasons why I believe in the millennial. And there's some reasons they don't believe in the millennial. So let me give it to you. I'm still kind of introducing this. You see, you're taking your time on this. You know why I'm taking my time on this? Most of y'all, though you've heard it, you still don't understand it totally. Amen. And if you weren't raised in this type of church, you most likely was raised around some of what I'm talking about, amillennialism. So why am I a premillennialist? Why do I believe that Jesus comes on the earth and he will establish a worldwide kingdom and the capital of that worldwide kingdom will be Jerusalem? Why do I believe that there's a 1,000-year millennial kingdom? Number one, it is the view that best honors, listen carefully, the normal, historical, hermeneutical study of the scripture. If you believe in the literal interpretation of scripture and your hermeneutics are proper, you will believe in the premillennial coming of Jesus, and you will believe in a literal second coming and a Christ establishing the 1,000-year reign.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That word millennial means 1,000. In these verses, 1-7, it occurs six times. Now, nowhere else in the scripture does it have that term, 1,000-year reign. Nowhere else as far as that term. By the way, in verses 4-7, you'll see him talking about the bodily resurrection and the first resurrection and the second resurrection. The second reason I believe in the millennium, listen carefully, is the promises to Israel have not been transferred to the church. Now, we are in on some of those promises. We have been grafted in to Israel. But the Davidic covenant and the Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant will not be completely fulfilled until Israel is saved and they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and they have a new heart.
Amen.
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 It is improper hermeneutics to replace Israel with the church.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. Y'all need to hear this. How many of you agree with me? Our country is dangerously getting closer and closer to be totally anti-Semitic. I want y'all to know something. The reformers, many of them were anti-Semitic. Am I telling it right? You study. Am I being accurate to my people? And when your doctrine is wrong and you try to replace Israel, then you become in your heart anti-Semitic. And you wonder why? Our nation right now is getting so close to apostasy. because of the hatred of God's people, Israel. But I want you to know that the tribulation period, the kingdom period, is all about Israel. Y'all with me? I hope I'm helping you. There's a third reason I believe in, man, I'm going to run out of time, in premillennialism. It's because of consistency in interpretation. Now, premillennialism maintains that its interpretation is consistent. See, the Davidic kingdom says that there's going to be a king that sits on the throne of David. That was promised to Mary. Who is that king? His name's Jesus. And by the way, this kingdom is going to be universal. It's going to be a time of peace, prosperity, and the anointed Messiah will rule the whole world and the whole earth. And I got a bunch of scriptures for that that I'll save for later. And then the new covenant gets me to believe there's a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Here's what's going to happen. In particular, God says he'll cause Israel to repent and be obedient. Right now, they're blind. How many believe Israel? You know Israel's blind. All you got to do is make a trip over there and you'll know they're blind. By the way, sometimes religion will blind you. Those folks are sincere, as sincere as anybody in this room. Lord, you remember when we went? You remember when you went down to the welling wall and saw them with straps around their arms? Scriptures mounted to their head? Going up to the welling wall and putting prayers in? Do you know who they're praying to? They're praying to a coming Messiah. They don't realize he's already came. Amen. You know what they believe? They believe in God, and they believe the Holy Spirit's running down that welling wall. But they are blinded to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want y'all all to know there's coming a time that those that pierced him will believe on him, and every eye shall see him, and they'll repent. And God will restore them again as a nation. And the 12 apostles is going to rule the 12 tribes. Y'all with me? Everybody with me? So there's a new covenant. The Holy Spirit will then for the first time dwell Israel. They're going to have a 1,000-year kingdom. See, the words of Jesus support premillennialism. He said himself that the 12 tribes or 12 apostles will rule in Matthew 19, the 12 tribes of Israel. Acts 1:6 says that when you're going to restore our kingdom, I want you to know when he's going to restore. When he comes back a second time, he's going to restore the kingdom of God, and he's going to rule from the throne of David. He's going to come back, his feet set on the Mount of Olives, go through the eastern gate. Somebody, how many have ever sang the song, "I'll meet you in the morning," just inside the eastern gate? I want you to know that's going to happen. You ought to say, "My Lord." Shout it out. Somebody ought to rejoice. Ladies and gentlemen, I know the kingdom of this earth right now is dissolving. I know our governments are failing. But one day, the King Supreme, the King Holy, the King of Majesty will set his feet on the Mount of Olives and roll from Jerusalem. I just quit teaching and got into a little preaching. Now I'm going to give you some. You got your outline. I hope you're looking at it. Let's go over a little bit of it. Glory to God. By the way, Romans 11, 25 through 29 talks about the future. It says Israel's going to be saved, Chad. Now, can I stop? Can I run one more rabbit? This hurts me. Do you know there's a lot of people that call them Baptist preachers that hate Israel? Do you know there's some Baptist preachers that are Holocaust deniers? They deny the Holocaust. I'm preaching. And I had one the other day cornered. And I just looked at him, I said, who's the 144,000 in Revelation that's going to be sealed? And by the way, they're not the Jehovah's Witnesses. And he said, well, that's the church. I said, so you're telling me those 144,000 that John named 12 nations or 12 tribes, replaced two of the original, and said 12,000 out of each tribe. I can't believe that. That's spiritual, and that's the United States, and that's the church. I'm oversimplifying, but that's what they say. Ladies and gentlemen, that's bad teaching.
Amen.
And here's what one of them told me. So, well, they can't find but three tribes. But hold a minute, I got a problem with that. The Lord knows who's His.
That's right.
Whether they can find them or not, it's not their job to find them. God's going to be the one seals them 144,000.
Amen.
Y'all all with me?
Right. Yeah.
Now let's start, got 5 or 6 minutes. Let's just start into this. Is it okay, Jeff, I go slow like this? It's okay, church?
Amen.
Y'all with me? How many's with me? Please let me see. Okay, good. I hope this ain't boring to you. I'm kind of excited. Well, let me show you the first thing. Before the kingdom is established, there's going to be a duty, something done first. Satan is going to be bound. You say, do you really believe that? Look at the scripture, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, how many of y'all believe if God said he bound them 1,000 years? How many of y'all believe that's the truth? Now, I want you to notice a phrase in verse 11 of chapter 19. Would y'all go back there just a minute? Something John says. He said, and I saw heaven open. John saw it. And then in chapter 20, John said, and I saw. Next event. Christ came, and the next thing John saw after Christ came, an angel come and take hold of the devil and put him in the abyss and put a chain on him. Here's the order. The second coming, the millennial, the final rebellion, the great white throne, and the eternal state. That's what you're going to see in the next 2.5 chapters. Hey, Jeff, and I saw. This is literal events.
Amen. Right.
Y'all all with me? And the angel from heaven holds the key to the bottomless pit. Amen. And he puts Satan in there. And then he calls Satan by four names here. Calls him the dragon. That's mentioned 12 times in Revelation. Being terrifying, powerful, cruel, dangerous, vicious. And by the way, it's the devil that tries to ruin your family. And I'm going to say something. I am tired of hearing this cliche. Why'd God do this to me? Somebody asked me the other day, so are you mad at God about what's happened to your sister? Absolutely not. My sister's in an Adamic body that is there because of the fall. I tell you, all God's going to do is when she dies, take her to heaven. And then when he comes back at the rapture, bring her with him and give her a new body. That's all God's going to do. Then God's going to take her and let her ride a white horse back to the earth and establish a good Lord. Does that sound like a mean, bad, vicious God? That sounds like a wonderful God.
Amen. Amen.
I'm tired of everybody blaming what the devil does on God. Why not get sick? You got sick because you're in a fallen body. You're not sick because God made you sick. You're sick because you're in an Adamic body. But I got good news. It's all going to change one day.
Amen.
Okay. He's also called the devil, meaning a slander, accuser. I'm going to quit here in a minute. I got to. I don't want to. You know, it's bad when other Christians slander you. And we slander one another. That's the worst thing we can do is hurt our brethren. And pass on gossip. And pass on tales. And you know what? Everybody wants to believe a lie. Everybody. Because gossip is just juicy. But I want you to know something. These tail biters and these people that gossip and hurt others, they're going to go with their father, the devil. He's a slanderer. And all slanders and all liars and all backbiters are going to have their place with him. And isn't it going to be a good day when you'll never be accused by the devil? Brother Bruce, the devil goes through before the phone against you, buddy. He does me too. Well, John Smith, he ain't perfect. He's right there. But you ain't either, are you? And you ain't either. And he slanders us all. But I want y'all to know something. So you know what's happening when he does that. You got somebody at the right hand of God saying, but he's one of yours, God. Just look at him. He's washed in the blood. And one of these days, that old slanderer, that old troublemaker, somebody help me preach. He's going to be cast into hell, Ethan. You said, I never shout. If that don't make you shout. The guy, the one that has slandered your life, who hates you and hates your family and hates your children, he's going to be in the slammer. He's also called a serpent. He's subtle. I'll tell you one thing. I'm praying every day for y'all that you don't let that trickster, that subtle liar disturb what's going on in this church.
Amen.
Just Monday and Tuesday, being up at the hospital, we had about 30 of us up there. Enough I was going to take up an offering. And you know what I felt up there? So much love. People caring. They wasn't wanting to hear the next best gossip. They just wanted to bear somebody's burden.
Amen.
And love on somebody.
Yes, amen.
And the author of all this confusion, he's going to be bound up. And then God is going to have a perfect utopia.
Yeah. Amen.
That we're going to live on.
Amen.
And I better end. Y'all like teaching?
Amen.
When I get done with these 10 verses, I'm going to stop and let the microphone pass and let y'all ask me all the prophecy questions you want to give me. And when I don't know them, I'm going to say, I don't know that right now. If I know them, I'm going to answer them for you. Because, see, I want you to have something. I'm closing, I promise. It's just hard tonight. I'm a little emotional. I want to tell you something, boy. We are on the winning side.
That's right, we are.
Satan didn't win this thing.
He
you know why I know that? Jesus went to Calvary.
Right.
He stepped on his head.
He
He's a defeated foe.
Amen.
I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to New Jerusalem.
That's
I've
right.
got a mansion.
I'm
going to get a new body. He's
Amen.
Going to hell. He's
That's
going
right.
to burn forever.
Yes.
And everybody that follows him.
Amen. That's how it is. Amen.
And you say, well, I'm never shallow. Well, just say hot dog or something, whatever your vernacular is. And that's going to be wonderful, Anthony. I know you've been having a rough time, but we're going to be in a time when there ain't going to be no paramedics. There ain't going to be no ambulances. There's not going to be anybody dead beside the road. We're going to be living in victory. Okay. Sister, you say my Lord one more time and I'm going to preach some more. I know some of you probably thought I was coming tonight bereaved, and I'm hurting. But my hope and my future and what God's got laid up for me, it outweighs all the pain I feel, all the hurt I feel, because I'll see my sister, I'll see my dad, I'll see my mom. What a day that'll be. All right. Stand with me. Lord, I don't know if I'm going to use you or not. I just hang in there. How many of you know you're saved? Real sure. How many's looking forward to living in a sinless world? How many's looking forward to going to a place where there's no curse? If you're not saved, come up and see me. Everybody raise your hand. But I want you to know, go home and get happy. Share this service to somebody. It seems like everybody's beat down right now. Somebody come up to me and said, man, I can't wait to Thursday night and watch the debate. I said, are you out of your pea-picking brain? I know who's going to be in office in November. I know who's going to be in office in November. Who God wants in office in November. I got my choice. But I want you to know, this is all winding down. Okay, let me dismiss. Whew. Lord, you sure have been good to us. And like old Billy Kelly said, the best is yet to come. I'm so excited about being a Christian. I'm glad that my hope is real. I'm glad if I die, I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But I got a hunch, Lord, I'm going to be here when the shout comes and the trumpet sounds. And I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Bless our people. Help them to grab a hold of that hope and enjoy their salvation and look forward to coming and worshiping this Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good night.